listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, now I done said everything I could possibly say. Ask some niggas in your camp, who's you hotter than J-A-D-A-K-I, two S's, a true message. Y'all better wear a few vests, live pussies, about to be dead dicks. I pack guns that shoot through schools, the red bricks. And just because you might have seen me on a war show, I'm still in the hood, nigga, getting the raw dough. And later on the night, I'm gonna be getting your hoe. And I got more money, so I'm copping more dro. Everything I said, I meant be. Y'all gonna tempt me to rob y'all, spend your whole stash on my empties. Mwah, yours truly. Can't do nothing to me. I think you're Scarface, but you ain't never seen the end of the movie. I'm the type of nigga that'll take five cakes, turn them into 5 acres, faster than 5 Lakers. Lay back, get high, tote my gun around, throw a string on the pony so I can tote my son around. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tills podcast with your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live coming to you in the middle of the day.
Yes,
a very special midday lunch edition of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I hope y'all ready for some
ladies,
oh yeah, fellas, uh-huh,
fellas,
mm-hmm.
Ladies,
oh, it's on, it's midday. It's midday radio podcast.
Yo, midday lunch mix, getting you through that lunch traffic hour.
Don't touch that dial, it's got jam on it.
Yes,
that will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Let's just
we
start.
Got some fucking fresh beef for you.
I don't even know what that means. Yeah.
Woo!
Yo, here we go. All right, you can go ahead and start.
At the count of three, I want everybody in the place to be to make some noise if you're down with me. 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're in a traffic jam. About to get you through it.
Yes, bitch.
Very violently, apparently. It's gonna be a lot of violence happening in the traffic jam, it seems.
Apparently. I hope you're on the safe side of town.
Oh, explosions are happening. People are playing with.
Here we go.
Here we go. Alright, guys. We're gonna have a lot of stuff happening around here.
I know. Do your lunchtime hour. Get you through this lunchtime jam.
Yeah, all lunch, all up on your lunch.
Amor.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit, the lasers and aliens is gonna be here.
We here to entertain you.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of you talking to people, you could be listening to us while you standing in line.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, fellas!
Ladies and fellas, I hope y'all ready. Oh yes, all of them, the ladies and the fellas
and everything in between.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're gonna be doing that.
Stick them, ha ha ha, stick them.
Yeah,
on and on.
That's what
come
we're
on.
Doing all lunch break. Okay.
Yes.
We are keeping you rocking on the ones and the 15.
Yes, doing your lunch break hour. We know you only got an hour, but if you got that job where you got the time to clock in, the eat time, we know you got a smooth 50 minutes.
50 minutes. Better clock back in. That's the clock saying.
I know. Clock back in for you late. You know you're getting the currents.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be on. It's going to be. Oh, it's going to be like.
I know. Don't let your coworkers know that you are partying on your lunch hour.
You are partying with the Black Guy Who Tips.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Horns is going off.
I know.
We take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
And 1950s news broadcast is happening. That's how live we get at lunch, bitch.
That's how live we get at lunch.
Y'all never seen.
I know, with DJ Rodimus Prime, and say that again. Mm-hmm. Here for you.
You never seen a lunch broadcast so live. That's why we only do it at night, because y'all can't handle this. Right, y'all can't handle this. It's too extreme. It's 11
right, stars. It's too much for you. It's too much. It's too mm-hmm. much. Mm-mm. That's why you have to pay for the remix like this.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the paywall.
The Black Guy Who Tips remix, okay?
Remix.
Oh.
shit.
We remixing that podcast on you niggas. Mm-hmm.
Y'all wasn't ready for this, was you?
You didn't know the bombs was gonna be. Boom. Okay. Be clear, okay? people dying off of how hard this goes.
I know you didn't know your lunch was gonna be this hard. You just wanted to eat your pastrami sandwich and some fries. You didn't know you was gonna get it hardcore while you dip them in that ranch.
Mm-hmm. Call the ambulance to come pick you up.
I know you got your salad thinking you were eating healthy, but all of a sudden we made it an unhealthy salad.
You dead now. It's a bomb. It's about to be a bombing raid of jokes, anecdotes, stories. We're going to have personal reflections.
Bonds.
Racism.
Fucking with black people.
We're going to have LGBTQ news. Oh, you bitch ass niggas.
It's all here for you, wrapped up in your hour lunch mix.
Remix that shit, nigga. The Black Gal Tips remix. And we're gonna have Magical Fairies are gonna be here apparently.
Yes!
Getting an extra man is gonna be on the show apparently. I don't know what that last one was.
Apparently, so you were ready for Rock.
Jamaicans will be here.
Come on.
We're gonna have the Jamaicans from Luke Cage season 2. They will also be on the show. Tell them.
I'll be a big joy.
Yep, they gonna be here.
You wasn't ready for Rod and Karen.
You ready to remix this shit?
Let's remix it up for him.
I'm bad boy.
Exactly. Anyway, this is a Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and a bunch of other places. Just search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. Official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and leave us 5-star reviews, because we appreciate the people that take the time out to do that. Because honestly, it keeps the show going, and that's really what it's all about. All right.
Yes.
All right. Also, we do have a sponsor for today's show. Let me see what song to play. Let's play niggas. Thieving ass.
Hey, love. You said you need someone to be there for you, to love you all night long. It's kind of funny, but
that's right. Adam and Eve is here to do all the things that your man and or woman or but non-binary person will not do. Okay, they're trying to help you spice things up in the bedroom. And they're going to be backing up that promise like you would be backing up that ass. That's correct. Check this out. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll get 50% off of almost any item when you put in code TBGWT at checkout. But that's not it. That's not all. Okay. They also will give you the Big O Kit, which is backed by popular demand. It includes their Climax Gel, Mini Vibrator as well. And in addition to that, they give you free shipping. I mean, so essentially you get one item half off. It could be a new adult toy. You know, a lot of y'all, you know, it's the summertime. Y'all might want to get those nipple clamps out. I don't know what y'all into. You know,
you might want to get sexy on your lunchtime break.
Right. You might need to get some lube. You know what I'm saying? You might want to get some condoms. You might want to get a butt plug. I don't know. Some of y'all.
I don't know.
Walking around, y'all might have to plug in all day with you. Just you and your man or your woman know that. I don't know what the deal is with that, but I'm not judging is my point.
Mm-mm.
What I'm trying to do is help you get it half off. Code TBGWT at adamandeve.com. Don't forget, you can get the Big O Kit and free shipping. And it's, just tell them that we sent you, okay, guys? Enjoy it. All right? Enjoy yourself. All right? You're only here for a little bit. You might as well be getting your sexy on.
Come on.
I'll do them for you, yeah. I'll take you out on a night cruise on a yacht. Just can't lose, cause we got a lot to look forward to. One, two, what you gonna do?
This nigga went from stealing somebody's girl to taking her out on a yacht. It better be his. Probably just rented that yacht.
You know he did. Mm-hmm. Rentayacht.com.
Got you leaving your man for one night of being treated right. Joe is a genius.
Come on.
Diabolical genius. All right, guys, all kinds of stuff in the news. Karen got her braces taken off.
Yes.
I know she wants to talk about that.
I do.
Go ahead.
I do. This is something I want to, it has been an experience. Like I said, I announced yesterday I was getting my braces off.
You've been talking about your braces a lot.
Mm-hmm.
On the show.
I have.
I think a lot of adults get braces and they want to hear about it.
Yeah.
But they're probably tired of hearing about it the same way over and over, which I can imagine is kind of boring. And this is the lunchtime. So can you remix this story, please?
Oh Lord. I don't know if I'm well, I guess.
All right, can you tell us about getting the braces taken off today?
Remix. I mean, do I need to get crunk? I mean, I need to get my mind.
I'm just trying to spice up the story.
I mean, I didn't know it was gonna be lit like this.
And go.
And go now. Now it's on me.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, go.
Yes, y'all, I got my braces taken off. I know a lot of y'all been going through this journey with me, and I thank you for everybody that's been going through this journey with me, because particularly as an adult, it's a little different than children getting their braces.
Thank you so much, people out there. Y'all been very... Okay, go ahead.
Apparently getting my braces off was very violent, according to them sound effects.
That's how they took them off.
I know. That's how they took them off. It was like, open up your mouth.
That's how it happened.
I know. That's like, open up your mouth, girl. But anyway, it has been interesting. It was a really neat experience to get them off. Because I didn't think about it when they take them off. First they take off the brackets and then they have to get the glue off. And when they take off the brackets, it's much easier to get the metal ones off, because when she did that shit just clipped off. Now if you have the clear brackets, it was violent up in there. Them shits crumbled like a lollipop. They had to give me like shades to put across my eyes, because she hit that shit say pop, and little plastic pieces was falling everywhere. I was like, what the fuck is this? She was saying that for some reason the when you do the plastic ones and you pop them,
that's how they was getting it off.
Yeah, honey, them, like somebody said, them things was popping like Snapple pop, like you go and they, honey, they was everywhere. And and it was funny though, because I started and it sounded like a snap, crackle, pop in my mouth. So I started laughing, because I'm 10. So I started laughing and giggling, and I'm a drooler. So that didn't go well. So she had to do a lot of sucking with the little suction thing. I wish they had these sound effects when she was doing the
I'm
work.
Just trying to help the story out.
No. I wish she would have had the sound effects when she was doing the work. It'd have been way, way more entertaining. It'd have been way more entertaining than what really happened. And it was a fun experience. And the thing is, whenever they, after they got the pieces off, I didn't realize they had to sand the glue off. Or actually saw the glue off. So then you're sitting there all year. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? And now you talking about violence. That was a lot of violence in my mouth.
As long as the ambulance didn't have to come get you.
Nah, the ambulance didn't have to come. At least not this time.
They was dropping bombs on your teeth.
They might have been dropping bombs on my teeth. And after they did that, they polished them. And now they nice and pretty and straight. And then they had to put some little, I didn't realize that I'm gonna get retainers, but they put some kind of permanent metal retainer behind your bottom teeth and your top teeth, right around the front.
Oh, that's where you got your braces, yeah.
Huh?
So, yeah, that's because those are the teeth that people see, and those are the ones you have the braces for.
Oh, but see, I didn't know they were gonna do that. I thought they were just gonna get fixed for some retainers, and they were just gonna,
I'm listening.
No problem.
I'm just spicing it up. That's all.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead. Gotta keep the people awake at lunch, Karen, okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I know some of y'all looked at y'all clock. Y'all only got 30 minutes left, so let me speed this story up. My bad. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize some of y'all probably looking at the time like, come on, get this story up with Karen. I gotta get back.
Stick 'em. Ha, 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 stick 'em.
Come on. I like that. I wish we did have this. Oh, and I bit a white man by accident. Cause he was doing the song and I didn't realize that.
Did he call the police on you?
Nah, not this time. And I didn't mean to. He had gloves and stuff. I didn't bite no skin or nothing like that. My teeth were just too close together and I didn't realize that his finger was in the way, and he did not taste like unseasoned chicken.
And on she kept on.
Get down.
Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I didn't realize whenever they put your permanent retainers in, they do use like a glue that they put there, and they was like, we don't want you to your tongue to touch it. And I was like, well, I'm a drooler and my tongue does whatever the fuck it wants to do. I had one of them, I don't know, Roman tongues, I don't know, but when my tongue is free, it just kind of floats and weighs and does its own shit around my mouth. And she had to put a guard on it. Like you're doing a kid. She had to say, bite on this, ma'am.
Oh,
so
snap.
Your tongue. She was like, your tongue is a problem because it got to stay dry so it can last. Because, you know, you get it wet, it won't last.
She had to remix it.
Yeah, she had to remix it for honey, for this out of control tongue that's doing my thing. And I know I ain't the only one that got a tongue like that. It happens at the dentist too. Like if you're doing something in my mouth and my tongue is just, it could just roam free, honey, it go to the left, it won't stay still. And I don't know why. It's just like, fuck it, I'm here. And it's the only time I can freestyle it. So,
yeah. How you feel?
Yep, how you feel?
Actually feel good. I am glad that I got him. It was worth every dime. My teeth is straight. I had to get, most of y'all know I had to get a total of 8 teeth removed prior to getting the work and stuff done. And so, it's been a process. I was telling Roderick, after I got him off, he was in the car. I was, you know, thinking about like what was my reasoning behind getting him in the first place. And I thought about it. I said my reasoning behind it was more because of my mama. Because
what?
I know, right? It's a twist, a plot twist. Because like I said, my teeth wasn't like jacked up. I don't know if that makes sense. Like I didn't have any like teeth growing on top of each other or teeth that was like crooked or anything like that. When I was younger, I was on like Medicaid and Medicare, and the thing is, the only way they would pay for it had to be interfering with your speech. And I was like, your teeth got to be really jacked up. I'm talking about like seriously jacked up for it to be interfering with your speech. Most people didn't need braces. They can talk normally, so that's stupid. They just didn't want to cover it. So it's been something that I always wanted as a child. And so it was one of those things where I thought about like, why was I getting it? I'm glad I got it. But I also can understand why people fall underneath the pressure to do things to their body, you know, because some people are very, very some people are very, very judgmental, you know, to people to get like butt surgeries and breast implants and all this stuff. When a lot of us actually fall underneath it for various different reasons, because a lot of people wouldn't consider, you know, fixing your teeth as part of that, you quote unquote doing it for vain reasons. But you know, for a lot of people, you know, it's just something that they just wanted to do for variation of reasoning.
Hold up, wait,
you know,
now brother, look at here, keep break.
I think it's interesting because when you talk about cosmetic stuff, everybody always, you know, talks about body positivity, every time about loving yourself and all this shit, but at the same time we make jokes and mock people for not looking the part, you know.
Come on, you can't have it both ways.
And nobody really thinks about their friends and the people that they say they love and all this shit when they say that stuff. But everybody hears that stuff. It's like men who talk bad about women all the time, but then go, I don't know why women think I hate them. But it's like, it's your words. You're telling us. You didn't come out and call me necessarily me a bitch, but, you know, it's like Snoop Dogg's argument, you know, like, well, when I'm rapping, I'm talking about bitches and hoes. So if you ain't a bitch or a hoe, you shouldn't be offended. And it's a ridiculous thing to say now that we're older and we're like, but context, you're talking about women. You just use this placeholder for women, not a specific type of woman. And you really can't get away with that as much anymore as far as saying it and then telling people you can't be offended. But I think people do that with stuff like smiles, you know, like, oh, this person's teeth was jacked up. Hey, well, I'm talking to somebody with some fucked up teeth, and then you wonder why somebody has a complex around their teeth, you know.
Right.
And also, you know, I know when we first got together, that was a thing that you said you had wanted to do that bothered you or whatever.
Sit down. How that sound?
And I was like, you know, we gotta try to hopefully, if we can get in a financial position one day to be able to afford to get that work done, we can get it done, you know. And I'm happy to be able to be in a position where we both can afford to get something like that done. That is quote unquote a luxury and
it
a privilege for a lot of people.
It is expensive. They don't talk about how it fucking expensive.
They definitely talk about how it's expensive. That's probably the number one thing people talk about with braces, is how cost prohibitive it is to get them, especially you get older. Y'all have your parents' insurance and shit. And even when you have insurance, a lot of times it just doesn't cover it. At least not enough percentage to make it worth your while. They do have a lot of payment plans and stuff, so it doesn't necessarily mean you got to walk into the dentist office with $5,000 or some shit. But you know, when the average American can't make it 2 weeks without a check, when we can't, if I said, hey, do you have $500 for emergency expense in your pocket right now or in your bank accounts right now, most Americans will say no. Braces are cost prohibitive and very costly in general. So, you know, I'm happy that to help, you know, to be able to get it done with you and whatnot. So I'm glad we made it to this point. And, you know, I always thought you had a beautiful smile, whether
most people said. Most people was like, it didn't matter, because.
But if it mattered to you, that's what matters. So
right.
It's really not, you know, nobody else can tell you how you gotta feel, because you have to live with it. And like I said, it's the same people that'll be like, oh no, you have a beautiful smile, I don't even know, da da da, but then like, look at this person's teeth, or they don't like somebody, a jacked up teeth. You know, when people don't like somebody, that's when you really find out how they feel about a lot of shit, because then they're not holding back. So, you know, that's when the colorism comes out, that's when the homophobia comes out, that's when, you know, your fat comes out, you know. Like, not that I take it too personally, but because I know I'm fat, but like when like people go in on like Jason Whitlock because they disagree with him, I'm like, okay, you kind of think that about me, but you like me, so you wouldn't say some shit like that to me, which is cool. You know, I understand the truce that all people have amongst themselves, which is like, I might not like something about you, or I might think it's funny or whack, but I wouldn't say that to you because we're cool. And I think a lot of people do that. But yeah, you can kind of tell, you know, when somebody doesn't like a black woman and all of a sudden she's ugly or dark or a bitch or a female.
Start attacking image.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, you know, nappy or whatever, and then it's like, oh, you feel like this all the time, but you're nice to me. You know what I mean? So it's that kind of thing.
Wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
So... sorry, I had to keep the mix going. Lunchtime. This is lunchtime. This is a very boring conversation.
Rhymes over beats on a real tip.
But so yeah, I'm glad you got your braces off and that you're feeling happy about it and stuff.
Yeah, and it's one of those things too where if you're a person who really have had like straight teeth, your teeth grew in straight a lot. Not trying to find a lot of those people. Not trying to find, they don't understand the struggles in the self-image that a lot of people have, and it ain't got to be nothing serious. Your teeth are just crooked, and people complain. And I, you know, read online and started educating myself about, you know, because I was asking about, you know, after I get my braces off, should I have my teeth, you know, bleached and things like that. I was asking people, you know, how they felt about, you know, bleaching and things like that. And the thing is, I started doing some research, and they was like, yeah, just because your teeth is white don't mean that they're in good health. And
that girl, Shelly on that girl, that girl.
Hey, DJ!
Yes.
and they said that as you get older, your teeth just naturally lose their whiteness.
Yeah, plus you look weird. Like, there's people that have, like, them chiclet things going on in their mouth, and you're like, I know you gotta work, because your shit look like you just painted some drywall with that shit. Like,
you're blinding me!
Like, it's almost unnatural to a certain extent.
Yes.
I don't know, hit that whitening toothpaste. And if they didn't leave a mark from the braces, then, like, white, a bleach white feeling from the braces, because sometimes people say they get that, then... I don't really see the point.
Yeah, and what happens too is that when you do braces, like I said before, if you don't keep your teeth and stuff brushed and clean, you get like these permanent, like ridiculously white marks that they can't get off. They were like, nah, they was like, nah, them permanent stains, them stains stay on forever.
Mm-hmm. All right, you ready to talk about the news?
Let's do this.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that she suggested she has at least 5 more years on the Supreme Court. I'm now 85. My senior colleague, Justice Paul Stevens, he stepped down when he was 90, so I think I have at least 5 more years. I hope the American people keep their energy so that she don't get stuck having to retire or passing, you know, away and before a second term of Trump, and then she ends up basically being like, well, I'm in the second term of Trump, so I can't keep this shit going forever. All right, y'all.
Right.
You know, but that's sad that she's even had to be in that position, because people elected to not care enough to stop Trump from being in office. So speaking of nationalism, bloody foreigners. Okay. Bloody foreigners. There's a campaign in Irish, in Ireland's Polish community, mm-hmm. that basically are the Polish people in that have, I guess, immigrated to Ireland or whatever. They are doing a blood drive where they give blood. They're gonna donate blood, so they want to take away the connotation. The bloody foreigners, when people say it, there is like a almost like a slur, like fucking foreigners. So those bloody foreigners, and it's said in a negative way, like these bloody foreigners coming over here fucking up everything, right? So they said, we're gonna change it because we're gonna give so much blood and donating it to like the Red Cross or whatever the fuck needs blood over there. They have an Immigrant Council of Ireland. And they came up with this idea, to give the blood banks, and then that way they'll change the connotation to bloody foreigners, as in, you mean the people that gave blood, so if you get sick or something, you need blood, you'll be using some of those foreigners' blood, so y'all good enough to take their blood.
Come on.
Y'all don't donate enough on your own, mm-hmm. But y'all not good enough to recognize them as human beings.
Right.
What do you think about this?
I don't have a problem with this.
Okay.
Yeah,
that
scratch is making me itch.
I will say I kind of don't like it. Now, I think giving blood, that stuff, that's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
I find it kind of a weird reasoning behind it, because it's almost like respectability shit.
It is.
It's like if black people gave blood, to be like, well, see, white people, we all bleed the same blood, and you gonna want some of our blood if you get hurt, so stop being racist. It's like, that's not gonna work. So I guess that's how I feel. Like, I mean, it's good they got the blood, but that shit ain't gonna, I hope you don't think xenophobia changes because of some shit like that.
They take your nigga blood and still say they white.
Yeah, so I don't think so. In job goals, a California DMV employee who napped at work every day for 3 hours cost the state at least $40,000.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. A Department of Motor Vehicles employee is reportedly suffering a rude awakening after a state audit found that she was taking 3-hour naps at work every day for 4 years. The unnamed data operator will reportedly not be disciplined because the infractions weren't documented properly. She also may have had a medical condition that prompted her to sleep at work. The Sacramento Bee reported that the employee's doctor told her employer that she could not perform duties of the job required back in 2016. The DMV responded by transferring her to her current role, but the naps didn't stop. The health issues like depression, sleep apnea, celiac disease, narcolepsy, chronic fatigue syndrome, anemia, and insomnia can leave people feeling drowsy during the day. The dozing amounted to 2,200 hours of work time between February 2014 and December 2017. They cost the state at least $40,000. According to SanFranciscoGate.com, the employee processed the average of 200 documents a day, while our colleagues were able to get through about 560 documents a day. Shit. Well, even with her not napping, if you look at the average of that, she wasn't going to catch them 560s and all that. Like, she wasn't napping the whole day, just 3 hours. So let's add that up to 4 hours and just say half of her day she was asleep. That's still only, if you double her process, that's still only 400 a day compared to her co-workers 560. It's possible the employee's naps also contributed to increasingly harrowing wait times at the DMV. Oh man, that had to suck if you're on that end of it. But the other thing is, I would like her to have her chakras aligned, okay? Well, I don't want her out here DMVing my paperwork up and she got her chakras all out of order. She might need a 3-hour nap. All that being said, the concept of sleeping in the office is actually becoming less taboo in some places. The New York Times ran a piece advising some work time nappers to apologize to no one, although sleep research Dr. Sarah Mednick told the paper that 20 to 60 minutes will suffice. A University of Pennsylvania study found that older people who nap for 30 to 90 minutes in the afternoon experience a notable cognitive boost. But snooze at your desk at your own risk.
I've seen people do that before. They put up a sign that they on a lunch break or they break. Mm-hmm. They put their head down to sleep. A lot of pregnant women do it. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's just, pregnancy is just exhausting. You know, and people just be like, I'm just tired. They don't want to go, like, leave and sit in their cars. Nope, I'm here. You see my sign up. This is enough. I think overall people just consider sleeping so, quote unquote, unprofessional to do in the office, workplace. But truth be told, you're fucking somewhere 8, 9, 10, 12 hours out of a goddamn day. I'm with y'all more than I see my kids. I mean, goddamn, I should be able to take a nap.
What a load of garbage.
I personally would go to my car and nap during my breaks when I had a job that we had to take mandatory, like, 15-minute breaks every 3 hours or some shit. Mm-hmm. And I would go to my car and I'll just, like, close my eyes, recline the seat, and sleep in my car for about 15 minutes if I really was feeling sleepy, you know, especially that afternoon break after you done had lunch and shit. You're like, man, let me go ahead and take a nap. And honestly, it was refreshing. It used to make me feel better.
Right, because you wake up more energized, because when you're in these office buildings, particularly if you work in an office where y'all have no windows, like, it's no sunshine, like, the sun doesn't shine in there at all, it makes a big difference in your mood and your energy level. Because a lot of times, if I just go walk outside, my energy level would almost jump instantly, and then I'm okay for the rest of the day.
Also, when you just want to kill your coworkers and shit, you just need a break.
Hit me! Eat it, punk!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you better take a nap.
Report, Youngstown women fight over stolen meatball accusation.
Run it.
You heard me. Youngstown, Ohio. Youngstown police are investigating after a woman told them that she was attacked by someone she accused of stealing her meatballs.
What kind of meatballs is the question?
The victim told police she was assaulted on Tuesday by a woman that lives in the same house on Indiana Avenue. The woman said she came home and found the other woman in the kitchen cooking meatballs. According to the report, the woman became extremely upset because she knows she is the only one in the house that had meatballs in the refrigerator.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Break down! Ha!
Police say the alleged owner of the meatballs confronted the other woman about the alleged meat thievery, insisting that they must be her meatballs. That's when the victim says the other woman charged her, striking her in the face and pulling her hair.
Ah! He's just fantastic!
Yeah! No.
Police say they didn't see any visible injuries on the victim. The suspect was gone by the time officers arrived. The victim said she doesn't know the other woman's last name, but suggested to police that it might be Bitch.
No doubt about it. Lady.
Oh, that's very specific.
Vanessa Bitch, I think, looked that up in their little notebook. Officers told the victim that what she needs to do, oh, they told her what she needs to do if she wants to pursue charges. You might have to
What was in the meatballs?
What was in them? Meat that one woman bought.
I mean, it caused the other woman to go crazy. So what was in the meatballs?
You come in the kitchen, you catch somebody cooking your meatballs. I mean, it might be a fight, Karen.
Yeah.
Might be hands. I mean, it sounded like she wasn't planning on giving her none. She bought the meatballs specifically for herself.
Come on.
I mean, you had you never had a roommate before in college or something?
I have, but.
And if they cooked your meatballs without asking, you just came in, your fucking meatballs is on the stove, you would have been all good. Like, oh, it must, nothing special in them meatballs. I guess they yours now.
No, I've never had. I thank God I've never had that problem before because. Particularly my freshman year, we both were only kids. I was like, look, I don't fuck with your shit. You don't fuck with mine. Cool, cool. Like, we ain't had that problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're not
done. Sorry, won't be.
Fuck Wally. Time for.
So I don't know how you could try to act like you wouldn't have been in that rage.
No, I mean, the funny joke is, what was the fuck in the meatballs that y'all brawling over it? Like, what was in it to cause the
her money?
Yes,
that's what was in the meatballs. She spent her coins. And this motherfucker had the all goddamn audacity to basically be cooking $5 on the meat on the fucking stove that ain't hers.
That's true.
So that's what was in the meatballs. It don't need to be cracked. Nigga, my money is my check. Capitalism worked this way.
It does. I
worked. My hard-earned sweat is in the fucking meatballs. And you just gonna be on the stove cooking like they belong to you. Like it's both eyes. It's not right. Both eyes.
You ain't put in on it.
I don't even know your last name.
Come on, I don't even know your last name.
Oh, time for some action.
It'd be time for some action. I get in the house and my motherfucking meatballs cooked and we not in a relationship or nothing. Mm-hmm. You just a person.
Come on. A rando.
Nah, fuck that shit. Your last name will be bitch by the time. I get done. Good grief. All right, let's see. Let's move on to another section. Let's see. How about this? LGBTQ news time.
Yes, it is.
And it's not good.
Oh shit, it's not good.
This, I mean, you know how it is. For the 75,000th time in a row that we do this segment, it's all over the place, but it's mostly not good. Let's talk about some good parts though. First, CVS fires a pharmacist who denied hormone prescription to a transgender woman.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck them. I will say this, and I will continue to say this. If your job is to serve the general public, you need to be able to serve all the general public, and you don't get to pick and choose who you serve and who you don't serve based off your religious belief. I don't give a fuck. I came in for a service. My service is not illegal. What is the problem here?
Right. It's super scary that people even think they can do that shit.
Right.
Like you.
And it can be life and death for people.
Right. Don't even get the job if that's the job. Oh, San Diego. Like, don't even try to get the job if that's what you're gonna do with it.
Right, and the thing is, particularly, I'm talking about for this situation, like for women, like the one you did with a woman went to induce abortion because her, you know, they, mm-hmm. you know, a child. So it's like, okay, this child needs to pass. Mm-hmm. Like, this medication will help this process, and you like, nah, I don't give a fuck about that. Like, in effect, in that situation, you're making it worse. And for anybody that comes in and can't get their medication, you're making the situation worse, be it hormonal or whatever the fuck it is.
So yeah, CVS has fired a pharmacist who refused to fill the prescription of a transgender woman seeking hormonal medication, and has apologized for the incident. Hilda Hall, the transgender woman, detailed her encounter with the pharmacist at the Fountain Hills location in a blog post published on the ACLU of Arizona's website Thursday. Thank goodness we have these online resources and people like the ACLU and stuff that really boost signal boost, because mm-hmm. a lot of these incidents have become like individualized, where it's not necessarily that 17 trans people got denied hormones at various CVS's throughout the entire state. It's this one person decided, I'm not giving the medicine to this other one person. And if that person didn't have social media or the internet or resources like the ACLU, we wouldn't know about it. It would just be a thing where they took it up with the local manager and you just hope that that person's not an asshole. Rather than, okay, well, you know when you're going to hear about this? On the fucking 6 o'clock news. And then all of a sudden it's, whoa, you're fired. We got to get this person out of here. We're going to do something about it.
Yeah, because it makes the company look bad. And it's also one of those things where you get enough, and this person has done this shit before and nothing has happened. That's mm-hmm. the thing. They've done it before, and an average person don't want to push it.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe I don't know.
Yeah,
because like it's hard to say when we know so little about the number of transgender people in our society because of shit like the fucked up census. We know shit about we know very little about how people have to identify and have to pass in order to, you know, do whatever. So it's like there's a like one of the things about bigotry that I think is the scariest is that there's a lot of people who are bigots who don't run across people in the groups they hate.
Right.
So it's not even necessarily that this woman may have done this to 20 transgender people and this is the first time we're hearing about it. To me, it's just as bad if she's only done it one time. Cool. You know, like this might be the only opportunity she's had to be a bigot to somebody's face, and she decided, I'm gonna do it today. And I'm glad we have people out here that can kind of raise signal boost the problem to be like, hey, look at this motherfucker, like they need to go, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And when I said first time before, just period, I think they first time today, I think that when people deny, it starts from somewhere. Like you said, this might be the first incident, but for
it some, might be, I'm not saying you're wrong, mm-hmm. like I said, you might be right. I don't know what the numbers statistically are for the average person, even in a position as a pharmacist, because we have never studied this. Nobody's done any research as far as like to quantify what percentage of people right. are trans, and then to have the money and the ability to go get the hormones and stuff from a CVS, from a pharmacist or some shit. You're just trying to exist, you know. Even at CVS, it's not like normally one pharmacist works in that CVS. It's normally a couple pharmacies, and you might catch one at 8 and the other one that shift starts at 4 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how many times a person like this has done it. I wouldn't be shocked if it was 20, and I wouldn't be shocked if this was the first time.
That's true. But, that's which, true, because it could be anywhere in between.
Right. And to a certain extent, one time to me is even worse than the yes, over 20 times. Like, because that means you really could have just done your fucking job. One time out of every, once a month, you give one person this hormone stuff, probably. And you fucking decide, nah. That's even worse. If it's 20 times, it's still fucked up. But there's some sort of like, nah, this is my religious freedom. A lot of people, religious freedom just mean being a fucking bully. It's like, here's my chance to exert the little bit of fucking power I have in my life over other people for being different.
Correct.
Just do your fucking job, man. Like how, like I'm, and like I'm, I don't do that thing where I'm like, well, and this is CVS's fault. I don't even think they found out, they fired a person. I really don't care whether they meant to out of the goodness of their heart or if it's just a corporate decision. It doesn't matter. I'm sure they have some sort of guidelines that say you can't do shit like this.
Correct.
Because how would they have a business model? They just selling drugs. If the drugs are hormonal drugs, they just selling no, they're in that business too. There's no, CVS is not like Hobby Lobby where they have like some religious, like from the top down doctrine of like, don't give drugs to trans people. Mm-hmm. They're like, we just sell the drugs. Get the prescription, hand the fucking drugs out.
You fucking up the money.
Call the insurance, cash the check.
Be the drug pusher, do your job.
Right. And you're fucking it up. Like that's how stupid, that's how much of a bigot you have to be. You're fucking up their money. And you expect them to have your back because this is how entitled religious bigots are when they are like, why doesn't the government have my back? Why doesn't my company, the corporation that sells drugs, why don't they have my back? If there was somebody's fucking opioids and they came to the fucking desk looking all strung out, I bet you passed those motherfuckers right on across that aisle as long as they had that insurance. Fuck out of my face. Anyway, she also claims the pharmacist loudly questioned her in front of other customers and rejected her and her doctor's request to transfer to another location.
And see, that's even fucked up. You wouldn't even let her. She was like, well, I'll just go to another store.
And this comes weeks after another woman, Nicole Ortega, was denied her miscarriage medication at a Walgreens pharmacy in Peoria, Arizona. We talked about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Both pharmacists' actions were justified under Arizona law. So peep that. Legally, the law in Arizona is like, you can do that. Yeah. Arizona is one of six states that allows pharmacies and pharmacists to refuse to fill a prescription on religious or moral grounds. But then you can say, and no other pharmacist can fill this prescription? You can't even transfer it to another pharmacy?
How are you the one to make that choice? And as a state, I can go, okay, cool state, but we're in the business of drugs. So what?
Also, what is it in the Bible about trans people? Like what is in the Bible about that? What scripture are you quoting? What are you talking about?
Just different.
In Ortega's case, Walgreens stood behind its employee. The pharmacy chain released a statement after the incident saying the company policy allows pharmacists to step away from filling a prescription anytime they have a moral objection. CVS, however, fired this employee and apologized to Hall on Friday. I appreciate them doing that because, you know what? CVS has their company policies and maybe this is going to end up with them getting sued and maybe even losing in Arizona State Court. This may cost them a lot more money to take this stance than to be like, we'll just sweep this under the rug and why don't you fill your prescription out at a different location. Like,
yeah,
they went in there and fired that person, and if the law of Arizona says they religiously can say no, they may end up in court.
Yeah, and that's the chance that they take, because you have to think CVS and these aren't like they're everywhere. Like these some big chains, and you know, for CVS, they're like, no, we don't want it to start here. The next thing you know, we're dealing with other people in our company, in our name, doing this in other states. Like, we don't want this problem, so we're going to nip this shit in the bud right here and right now and make your fucking ass an example. Okay, we go to court and we lose, so what? Our employees know, you tell people no, you will fucking lose your goddamn job.
Ladies, fellas!
Exactly. Sorry, I had to keep the party going.
Lunchtime mix.
Mike DeAngelis, CVS spokesman, said the pharmacist violated company policy by refusing to fill the prescription.
Right.
But under state law, the company must accommodate any religious convictions that prevent the pharmacist from filling specific medications. Arizona pharmacists are required to notify the company in advance about any religious convictions so CVS can make other arrangements to ensure patients' needs are met. DeAngelis did not directly comment on why the pharmacist was fired. The person was not in violation of state law. So, yeah, I don't, maybe they're gonna end up getting sued behind this.
Yeah, and the
I
thing,
hope they fight it though.
And the thing is, CVS can also say, well, if you should have told us, particularly if you didn't tell us in advance. So you, if you have this problem, this is something you should have told us, and you should have allowed another pharmacist to fill this out or ship to somewhere else. You can't deny and then won't even allow them to go somewhere else. You was like, fuck it, the buck stops here. Yes, you deserve to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
get your hands up. You get your hands up, bitches.
All right. Nearly half of gay men report being victims of domestic violence.
Oh.
These drops can't spice this up. A staggering percentage of men in the same sex relationships have been abused by a partner, according to a new study on gay domestic abuse. It's wild. We just now studying so much of the shit. The study published this month in American Journal of Men's Health found that 46% of respondents had suffered intimate partner abuse, including emotional abuse, controlling behavior, and physical and sexual violence. Research at the University of Michigan Center for Sexuality and Health Disparities interviewed 320 men and 160 couples. If you just looked at physical and sexual violence in male couples, it's about 25-30%, roughly the same as women and heterosexual couples. We're stuck in this mental representation of domestic violence as a female victim and a male perpetrator. And while that is very important, there are other forms of domestic violence in all types of relationships. In addition to the usual factors, fueling abuse, unemployment, drug abuse, money problems, researchers found a strong correlation between internalized homophobia and abuse in gay male relationships. An abuser grappling with his sexuality may lash out at the person he perceives as the embodiment of that identity.
Right.
Well, also, like we've talked about on the show, we talked about it from a heteronormative perspective last week, but the performance of maleness in our society entails a lot of violence. It's a lot of, I have to hurt you to prove that I'm not weak. I'm so strong, I can hurt you. It's, I don't cry, but I can be angry. I can be violent. I can mock. I can be cruel. Those are the emotions I'll have, but being happy, in a way that's just about me being happy and not about hurting someone else, it's almost foreign to a lot of men. You know, the same way that men are dangerous towards women in cis heterosexual, cis heteronormative relationships, you can be dangerous towards another man, especially if one of y'all is struggling with what is a man and what is my truth and what is this mask I put on. And your mask is to mimic cishet men who are very violent, you know, and especially when you don't have that fucking chivalry to even protect you. Like, there's a lot of men who threaten women, who push, who are abusive towards women emotionally and stuff, and the only thing that stops them from physically hitting them is that chivalry, quote unquote, in their mind. Not all men that stop, right. But some men are very fucking like, you lucky you a woman, and what they really trying to say is, I want to physically hurt you and I'm scaring you by basically threatening you, but I would never hit you, but I just did kind of intimate that I fucking would, you know. And so there's that, where it's like, I would never hit my hands on a woman, but I shake her, some, you know, some stupid shit like that. And so you end up in these situations where you don't even have that line when it's two men.
Mm-mm.
You know, it doesn't matter if one's more femme presenting, quote unquote, or none of that shit. It's, you're a man, I can say I hit a man and call it a fight when the police show up.
Yeah, I wonder what would be the state if they did it with lesbians.
Yeah, I wonder
and,
what
and,
it would
and
be.
Probably
yeah.
The same or similar to it, because, you know, when you're dealing with these quote unquote gender roles and even in some of the LGBTQ, a lot of them accept straight people gender roles in their relationships. Not all, but some of them do. And so it'd be interesting, because, you know, they're a marginalized group. So just like women, underreported, not reported at all, they know they're not gonna be taken seriously. Women ain't taken seriously at all. But be a gay man and another man is beating on you, you're gonna be taken less seriously than that woman.
Right.
You know, because in as fucked up as it is, and you know, because people already don't take the crime seriously anyway. And so you're going to have people with their own prejudice and racism, especially if they're black, racism and homophobia and all that stuff are going to shine through a lot of this shit. Misgendering people, all kinds of things happens in that.
Right. So I'm not surprised that in male gay relationships that you have this, like, especially, like I said, I like you said, the police probably aren't taking it serious. And then you don't have that chivalry, you know, like when you show up to a house where there's a man and a woman fighting, a lot of police and stuff will be like, well, yes, we take the man out of the situation, because blankety blank blank, you know, like statistically it's on our side that, hey, let's say he's a good guy and he didn't really do anything, well, we're still taking him out of a situation with a person that's accusing him of something.
Yeah, we'll
let's say he's a bad guy and he is, like most of them, and he did do something, he needs to get out of that situation. When it's two men, how do they decide that? How are the police viewing that? Do you trust the police to really view that in a healthy way and to trust, you know what I'm saying, to figure that all out? But yeah, according to the National Center of Injury Prevention and Control, 26% of gay men and 37% of bisexual men have experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking by an intimate partner. Abuse in gay relationships has an added risk of increased HIV infection, and if the victim is not able to control what, if any, HIV prevention measures are taken. Societal pressure on men being strong may keep victims from seeking help. Mm-hmm. But even if they do seek help, there usually is less of a support system available to gay victims, especially if one or both partners is not fully out. Shelters and counseling, yeah, that's a whole nother level, because like, right, you can't, there's no presumption of being out or not out when there's a heteronormative relationship. But yeah, I'm sure police can show up and punch. I ain't gay, the fuck you talking about? And it's like, well, hold up now, like, this person called us and say you beat them up and your lovers, fuck that nigga, that's just my friend or some shit. Mm-hmm. Don't tell my wife about this or whatever the fuck,
right,
else people say. Shelters and counseling may not be available to men. Delaware, Montana, and South Carolina explicitly exclude same-sex victims of domestic violence from protection under criminal laws. Wow. Wow. So that is amazing to read. Delaware, Montana, and South Carolina explicitly exclude same-sex victims of domestic violence from protection under criminal laws. So you can literally just, like, beat, abuse, possibly kill somebody as long as it's same sex? What the fuck? Stevenson suggests healthcare providers and abuse counselors receive better training about intimate partner violence and abuse among same sex couples. Transgender people are having problems possibly with their passports applications being rejected. Transgender women are saying their passports are being retroactively denied, and the reasons why are unclear. In two separate vile tweets a month apart, two trans women have come forward about the sudden issues they're having with passport renewal. Both say the paperwork they gave to the government before had always been sufficient, and they were given no warning that new or different documentation would be needed. Late last month, the executive director of the Gender Justice League, Danny Askinney, said her passport renewal was denied. And the new paperwork requirements were extreme. She was told she needed to get a judge to unseal child welfare records from her foster care, records that had been sealed for her safety to verify her gender. Askinney said all her paperwork has said female for nearly two decades. None of my documentation would disclose my trans status. Askinney said in an interview with them, I guess that's the name of the site, them, no databases that are local, state, or federal should note my gender as anything other than female. Askinney traveled to Sweden with a temporary passport with help from her congresswoman, women who contracted the passport agency. Askinney is just one person that this happened to. This week, Janice Rose tweeted that her passport had been denied, even though she was able to renew it 8 months prior. Rose said she had heard stories about trans people having their applications denied, so she attached the same doctor's note she had previously used, even though the law says it's only needed to update the gender marker. The U.S. passport office called and told her the language in the doctor's note was not sufficient and she would need a new one. She basically told me that even though the government had changed my gender marker in the last year, that was a mistake. This letter is something my clinic has been using as a boilerplate for years for so many people. Yeah, man. Look who's in charge.
Right.
Look who's in charge.
So they going back and actually just finding shit and be like, deny, 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 deny. At any point, the gender change, deny, deny, deny.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not coincidental that today, Jeff Sessions asked for a religious liberty task force.
What?
Yeah, he said the task force, co-chaired by Associate Attorney General Jesse Panuccio, said an assistant attorney general to the DOJ's Office of Legal Policy, Beth Williams, will help the department fully implement the religious liberty guidance it issued last year.
What the fuck is that?
The guidance was a byproduct of President Trump. Sessions said on Monday the task force will ensure all Justice Department components are upholding the guidance in the cases they bring and defend the arguments that they make in court, the policies and regulations they adopt, and how we conduct our operations. The announcement came during the department's Religious Liberty Summit. Sessions said the guidance he issued in October laid out 20 fundamental principles for the executive branch to follow, including the principles that free exercise means a right to act or to abstain from action, and that government shouldn't impugn people's motives or beliefs. In short, we have not only the freedom to worship, but the right to exercise our faith.
Christians, because that's all we're talking about here, because we're not talking about no other religion now.
The same people that scared of Sharia law think that this is, that we need a Religious Freedom Act. Think about that. The Constitution's protections don't end at the parish parking lot, nor can our freedoms be confined to our basement. What does that mean? Sessions said the federal government under Trump administration is not just reacting, but actively seeking carefully, thoughtfully, and lawfully to accommodate people of faith. Religious Americans are no longer an afterthought, he said.
What? They've been the forefront. Everything is wrapped around them. Fucking laws, like.
Right.
That's fucking, that made me upset, because like everything, all the law is based around y'all, and any little change you go, y'all are against us. We're like, well, bitch, all the laws is for you. What are we talking about? All the laws was wrapped up in y'all bullshit, not mine. That's what they gonna be saying when they gonna be knocking down y'all doors.
Last one. A notorious internet pastor has warned men not to masturbate because it's sex with a man and that's gay.
What?
You heard
me. So you gay on yourself?
If a man masturbates, weird that he didn't bring up women.
Come on.
If a man masturbates, apparently, he is gay. For other men, that's what's happening. You got a penis in your hand, and you're letting somebody give you a hand job.
Yourself.
Happens to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm Hollywood Montrose to the bullshit, dude.
I guess so.
Call me LeVar from fucking Revenge of the Nerds. High school football coach and internet pastor Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, who has a surreal online following, made the comments on his past assault live stream. I really gotta start one of these live streams, man. I don't know what I'm doing in my life.
We need to get it together.
I gotta get better on my Instagram.
Come on now.
You just got to say no to it, as hard as it is. If you're very honest about it, masturbation is homosexuality. You're having sex with a man, you put images of a woman in your mind, but you're having sex with a man. It's where the devil will take us if we give him free range in our minds. He added, our public schools are rife with sexual deviancy. Public schools are cesspools of sin and degenerate behavior. If not for the teacher, for the student themselves, to each other. Get your kids out of public school now. Get your grandkids out of public school now. Do it, and you will never regret it.
The people you talk to can't fucking afford it. What are we talking about here?
He would rather them not be schooled because they might learn something. Like, you know, masturbation isn't gay.
One thing that's killing me, and it's not only here in America, it's happening all over the world. People reject intelligence. People reject facts. People are like, fuck it.
How is football not gay? I mean, he's a coach for football. He got all those people around, and they're like wearing, you know, no clothes in the locker room.
Tightest shit ever.
Tackling each other balls and those pals. But he would never say that football is gay because he worships football, and calling something gay is bad in his opinion. So he would never say that. But fucking jacking off is gay? Like, what are the rules on what's gay and what's not over there?
Right.
He's like, he loves watching greased up little kids wrestling shit, but somehow you only gay if you jack off. He said, nowadays you can be a man to sleep with another man. You can be a woman to sleep with another woman. You can be a man who kills your baby. You can be a man who impregnates a lady and lets her kill her baby, but you're not allowed to have any opinion on it. You just have got to sit in the corner and shut up and let the women do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, like I said, sexism, racism, like they all flow down the same stream. Like, I'm somebody. If you come out with one, I'm assuming you all three. because they cousins, they first generation cousins.
What did racism come up in this?
No, not racism, homophobia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sexism. I'm just trying. Was it something in the comments I read that said something about race? I don't
know. No, I'm just saying we were talking about gay men. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden he said that shit about women. I was all those tie up. That's why I said it. Yeah. Racism, sexism, homophobia. If you're one, I assume you all three. Because
yeah, he's misogynistic as well.
They are first cousins.
Yes, I was just trying to find where you was coming from.
Oh, my bad.
I feel you. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of that homophobia in a lot of ways is extreme misogyny.
Right.
You know, like a lot of it is I hate that men would be into other men, or I hate the idea of attraction to men. Because that's what women have, you know.
And I consider women less than, and, right. And a man should always be better than a woman. Yep. And how dare y'all let these women do their things and don't have no opinion about it. But, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, once you let that nut go, that is up to her what happens after that, buddy.
Our two daughters play college softball. Every time I go to ball games, I keep an eye on my daughters to see if they taking the homo bait yet, and they hadn't. They didn't have to because they weren't cropped hair, wide bottom girls. They were pretty girls, godly women. They didn't take the bait. But I'm telling mommies right now, if your daughters are good athletes, you better cover them in prayer, because the recruiting that goes on, the pressure that goes on to be one of the girls is enormous. So he basically saying softball is turning women gay. If you play softball, you just gonna, I mean,
I know a lot.
What can you do? You can't play softball.
Girls that played sport. What are we talking about?
Can't masturbate. It couldn't be that softball is an environment where they don't shame people for being gay. It couldn't be that. So now you don't have to cover it up. And also, you know, knowing the way their parents talk about gay stuff, or their father does, you don't, maybe your daughters are on the softball team so they can be comfortable finally.
They,
who knows?
You never know.
And they can't tell your ass. I know that much.
And somebody brought up a good point. But if you don't want me to masturbate, how do y'all pee? Y'all just whip it out and just let the piss go where it may.
But I can't help myself. I don't want to be a freak, but I can't help myself. Two times like people. Wah, wah. Puerto Rico. Wah, wah, wah.
That's how
remix. Y'all got y'all men out here like water hoses. Y'all just shooting the piss everywhere.
That's how we piss.
Don't touch it.
Just put our hands in the air. Cause
you might be gay on yourself.
Wave it like you just don't care.
Hose it like you just don't care.
I don't want to go in the shower. You might have to touch your balls, or your penis.
I mean,
or your
how
butt.
Do you keep it clean? I mean, shit.
You just gotta let it stay.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Watch them nasty ass, funky ass balls. They stink too, y'all.
Now I'm gonna be gay, and you don't want to be dating a gay
mm-mm.
man.
Clean them balls. Mm-mm. Get it all in between them. Clean that penis. But all men that must be gay then, clean it.
Yeah, I know this dude definitely jacks off. He just lying to these people.
Right.
Like, I don't trust nobody to say they don't masturbate at all. Like, really, nigga? What, they still make those?
They still make your model.
What's wrong with you? Because if I touch myself, I turn gay. And maybe you're just gay, man. Like, it's okay.
Maybe.
I mean, if it's a gateway drug to other people's dicks, I mean, maybe the problem's not masturbating. Maybe it's you.
Maybe the problem is not masturbating. Maybe it's bigger than just jacking off.
Yeah, I jacked off. Next thing you know, I was in the alley. Like, oh, well, okay, hold up now.
I know that
you
that's
some steps.
That's a big leap. It's something that led you there.
Jacked off, then I put on some leather chaps and grew a mustache. Wait a minute, dog. Wait a minute.
It normally does not work like that.
You sure you're not just into this?
There are some other steps that happened. Yeah, you might just like that. It's okay.
And he definitely the type of dude that's in that first story where he abuses another man if they was ever to be in a situation together. Because he definitely got some hang-ups about his own masculinity. He probably abused his wife and shit. Crying and shit. I'm not gay. What are you even crying about? I touched a penis today. Oh, baby, I've been waiting on you to live your truth. Whose penis was it? It was mine, okay? Oh, wait, what?
What?
You just jacked off, that's it?
I mean, dudes just say on penises, off. What's happening here all the time? I don't understand this.
He got to come out to his family. Family, gathered you at dinner today at this Applebee's because I had to tell y'all all something. Some very... very shocking news. It's gonna be very disturbing to everybody at this table, and I don't want to didn't want to tell you guys like this, but it's the truth. I've been seeing somebody. I know, but honey, don't look shocked over there, okay? I see you shaking your head, but I have to tell the truth. You know, we're a God-fearing family, and that we have to live in the truth. I've been seeing somebody for quite some time. It's been an on again, off again thing, and I just thought we could break it off when we got married, but I have not been able to stop seeing this person. And we've been doing a lot of things I'm ashamed of, to be quite honest, okay? There's been a lot of hand jobs, you know, just a lot of sexual contact that's just inappropriate. And I think I'm gonna have to leave the family, because I can't stop this. I can't cut it out, and I can't tell this person no. And I'm sorry, baby. You and the three kids, y'all on y'all own. Our beautiful lesbian under the cover daughters playing softball, y'all just have to continue to play softball and stick to the Lord, stay straight. But I couldn't do it. I'm also gay. I know it's a lot to take. Everyone sit down, please. Waitress, no, we'll take drinks after I finish talking to my family, god damn it. Thank you. Now, where was I? So I've been having an affair for, I would say, at least since I was about 12, 13, maybe 14, since we got that Victoria's Secrets catalog in the mail. I have been seeing this man, and since we were children, really. And it's been hard for me to maintain relationships with other people, because I've always been going back to this man, and I have to leave, and I have to ask for a divorce, baby, because I can't quit. It's, who is it? No, it's not Jim from the church league. No, the church league. Why would you even think that? It's disgusting. No, I would never touch him. No, the man that I'm leaving you for is me. It's me. You're looking at him, actually. It's, yes, I am in lust with myself. And I didn't want you guys to find out like this.
If you tell me this is grounds for divorce.
That's what I'm saying. It is grounds for a divorce. Because, you know, I have to come out my closet to all of you guys. And I find it offensive that both our daughters are saying they knew the whole time. No, you allowed me to tell you, okay? This is a big deal.
This is what everybody does. I mean.
Oh God, yeah, everybody's gay. Everybody's in here gay.
You're almost 50. What are we talking about here, sir?
Of course, no.
Everybody knows that you jacked off.
I can't believe everybody in this Applebee's is also gay. Oh no. This is,
get over yourself. Lord, you are not special.
What has the Lord done to curse us all?
I don't know.
Ridiculous, man. Anyway, he's a terrible person.
Come on.
I bet he got more followers than me on all the platforms too.
You know he does. We ain't doing this right.
All right, let's get into some other stuff. You know what? I'm gonna skip fucking with black people today.
Okay.
But we are going to still take out the trash. Okay. Time to take out the trash. Brock Turner appeals his rape conviction with the argument that he only wanted intercourse. He said he was not trying to have intercourse, he's trying to have intercourse, sexual contact while fully clothed. Somehow that means he should be able to have his rape conviction appealed.
These white folks be making up shit, don't they?
You know what I keep thinking about? The woman who he violated, who didn't really get justice the first time, because he's found guilty, and then the judge is like, I can't destroy this young man's career. 2 months in jail, that's it. She has to keep going to court and being vigilant probably every time he appeals something. Right. There's just a potential that looms over her head, and I can understand if at some point she was like, I don't feel like doing this for the no justice that I fucking got in the first place.
Come on.
And then the little bit of justice that I would get from making sure this stayed on his record, I would understand if she was just fucking tired.
And said, fuck it. I don't care anymore. Don't call me. Don't want no more interviews. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they do this actually to wear the victim down, truth be told.
Yep. He's trying to overturn the felony charge of attempted rape. Mercury News reported that the panel of justices appear skeptical at the argument. I absolutely don't understand what you're talking about. We are not in a position to say of the jury, you should have gone a different way, Justice Franklin D. Elliot wrote. Assistant Attorney General Alicia Carlisle said the MOTHAP presented a far-fetched version of events. The three justices have 90 days to discuss the appeal argument and issue a ruling. Turner, who returned home to live with his parents in Ohio after being released from jail, was not present in court on Tuesday. Yeah. He tried to have sex. No, he did rape an unconscious woman laying in an alley by a trash can.
Got caught in the act. Ain't this the one that got caught in the act?
Yeah, it had all this money and shit to be able to say, you know, to keep fighting it. Deadliest Catch Edgar Hansen, Deadliest Catch star, admits sexually abusing a 16-year-old girl.
Oh
man. Co-star Edgar Hansen from Deadliest Catch on Friday admitted sexually abused a 16-year-old girl last fall, touching her genitals and making her touch him in return. In exchange for his plea to fourth degree assault with sexual motivation, Hansen, 47, was given a suspended sentence of 364 days in jail, meaning he will not spend time behind bars.
I'm proud it won't even go on his record.
He also received 2 years probation and various fees and fines totaling $1,653 with an additional $4,800 fine suspended. Hansen was further ordered to undergo a sexual deviancy evaluation and treatment and provide a DNA sample for law enforcement. Prosecuting attorney's office agreed not to pursue any charges that may arise in the future in connection with the case. What kind of deal is this?
Right.
Neither prosecutors nor investigators immediately returned. This is why the fuck I can't get upset or up in arms when motherfuckers are like, all these poor men, the Me Too movement is taking everybody down. Mm-mm. We just covered the case of two people who admitted to doing the shit they did and didn't go to fucking jail for any length of time that is even comparable to any shit. Like, it's not even comparable, dog. How the fuck can you be sitting around talking about poor blank and poor this and poor that guy? The motherfuckers who say they did it don't even go to jail. What the fuck? This is crazy. And we still live in a society where we're like, these women need to shut the fuck up and stop accusing everybody. We still have men walking around saying that stupid shit. These poor men, how are they supposed to navigate this world? With a slap on the wrist, apparently. What the fuck is this shit? Neither prosecutor nor investigator immediately returned messages seeking comment. Hansen's attorney was not immediately available Wednesday afternoon. In a brief handwritten statement accompanying his guilty plea, Hansen acknowledged touching the victim's private areas for the purpose of my own sexual gratification. The assault occurred on September 30th in Snohomish County. Washington court records show the victim, described only as a 16-year-old girl, reported her abuse to her therapist in late October, saying it took place in a local home. The victim said Hansen kissed her on the lips, touched her vagina, and had her touch his penis. Investigators spoke with Hansen's wife, who said she confronted him after learning of the abuse. He initially denied but eventually admitted that he kissed the victim and touched her inappropriately. Still his wife, too. Not ex-wife, any of that. Edgar Hansen is the younger brother of Sig Hansen, the 52-year-old fishing boat captain who has starred on Disney's Deadliest Catch since 2006. Edgar, who has appeared on the long-running reality TV series less frequently, works as a deck boss on the Hansen family boat, according to the Times. In a statement with his plea, Edgar wrote that he has commenced treatment to ensure nothing like this assault ever happens again. Yeah, I just need some treatment. You guys know how it is when you can't keep your hands off a 16-year-old. You just need a little treatment, and then fix that right up. And you can go back to business as usual after spending no time in jail and paying a small fine. Will they still have him on TV? On the TV show? Discovery gonna have him on there? That's gonna be okay? He's gonna still get Discovery checks, too?
Mm-hmm. Be covering Shark Week next time.
They did not immediately respond to a request for comment, by the way. Discovery did not.
Of course.
for all the poor, these poor men. They lose everything, guys. They get accused and nobody looks at anything. Next thing you know, they don't have a job. Oh wait, they all keep having jobs and nobody gives a fuck. What about that reality? Sorry, just pissed me off, because even the accusation gets treated like, wow, this poor man, he's the victim now. Like, how are you the victim of something I'm saying you did to me? Wow, we really trying to stop this man from, he was about to buy Discovery Channel.
Right.
Speaking of which, Charlamagne Tha God addresses recent headlines that claim he admitted to rape. My tone was all wrong. I should have never used the term rape. On Tuesday, Charlamagne Tha God took to the Breakfast Club to clear his name and clarify an audio clip from his Brilliant Idiots podcast, which we played on the show. In the clip, which was reposted by Side Convos without context. Who wrote this article? Ball alert. Okay. Yeah, he has a lot of friends in the black press that the way they tell his story is much kinder than they would if it was somebody else. I'll just put it that way. I don't know if it's just connects, gatekeeper shit, y'all want to be on, but you know, whatever, but they tell the story and like, look, it was posted without context, as if there's a possible context in which laughing about raping somebody would be cool. Like, oh well, shit, in the context of y'all were laughing and saying that you got somebody too drunk to consent and slipped something in their drink, yeah, of course in that little clip you're gonna look bad, but till you add the context, then with the context it's like, oh yeah, well it's not that bad. Like, the context is people like him,
right?
That's the context. This dude's been involved in 3 very rapey situations that he's talked about, and the context is, but I listen to him talk every day of the week, so like, I don't want to come off and be like, this dude might be a fucking like creep, you know. I might not be cool with this if I didn't like the person. If it was Tariq Nasheed saying this shit, I wouldn't be fucking with him. If it was, I don't know, y'all pick the person y'all don't like, you know, pick that person you don't like that you're like, they haven't really done nothing, but I don't like them. Pick that person and then you be like, I would not believe all his versions of events. That's just the way it is though.
Come on.
Anyway, he said, I keep telling y'all, I told y'all this over and over. It's a lot of things guys did, especially when we were young, that were rape that we didn't consider rape. I'm married to my wife. Me and my wife dated for a whole year. She would not give me no pussy. Me and my wife hung out on Saturday night. She got sloppy drunk, passed out of my mama's house. I got that pussy. She was fucking me back and all that, but she was really drunk. I asked her yesterday, yo, did I rape you the first time we ever had sex? And she goes, I mean, in hindsight, yeah. However, the clip came on the heels of resurfacing of another clip in the 2015 podcast where he discussed giving a woman Spanish fry prior to their sexual encounter. Although Charlamagne maintained the sex was consensual, he did admit the girl did not remember the encounter, but she was not passed out. Yeah, okay. As the clip made its rounds on the internet, a spokesperson for the radio host said the entire story was taken out of context, adding that the two Brilliant Idiots hosts were actually discussing rape culture, which was a newer understanding at the time, not usually discussed openly. But the host also took to his podcast to clear his name and apologize for joking about the matter. See, this is the part, because I actually listened to somebody's podcast that where they kind of were trying to defend this as, we need people like Charlamagne because they talk about shit that people don't want to talk about. They come from a background where people don't know these things, and so it's important that they talk about it. The problem was, if you listen to the clip, you're divorcing the tone of what the conversation. It wasn't some conversation about education. Mm-mm. It wasn't a conversation about let's talk about these taboo things and get it out in the open so we can show people how we've changed and how much better we are. It was laughing, like, well, hey, if I got raped, at least it was you that raped me, ha ha ha. You know, like, it was funny to them. Hey, did I rape you? Ha ha ha. Isn't it funny that I raped you? It wasn't some educational moment, and y'all know that. You know the tone of the conversation matters as much as what was said.
Correct.
So it's that thing where it's like, we're gonna talk about rape culture and make jokes about how it's not that real, or how it's just bitches be tripping. You can't then take that and go, but he talked about rape culture and educated us. Did he? Or did y'all just laugh at him talking about he might have raped his wife? Or maybe you was even creeped out a little bit, but you didn't have the fucking temerity to be like, this is creepy. I don't know what this dude is doing right now. I'm really not gonna fuck with him anymore, or I'm gonna at least admit that this story sounds like rape. I like this dude's show, but he also sounds like he's talking about rape right now and thinking it's funny. Both things can be possible. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, I'm not really a boycott person anyway, so I can even understand somebody being like, well, this dude seemed like he used to be a terrible person and I don't think he's that anymore, but I consume his shit and he doesn't seem to have learned his lesson. I can even understand. I know on the internet a lot of people wouldn't understand that and they would judge you and shit, but that's their own shit to deal with,
right?
Because a lot of people are, everybody that is consuming entertainment is giving somebody some slack. It doesn't fucking matter who they are. Everybody, nobody, you can go through everybody's Rolodex, everybody's fucking DVDs, Blu-rays, you're gonna find somebody in there where it's like, yo, you know, they did some wild shit and you just sit up here and let them slide. Like, you fuck with this movie, you fuck with this album, you fuck with this TV show, you fuck with that's just how it is. I don't really believe in morality by consumerism anyway, but for those who do believe in that shit, then nobody's clean. It's just what it is. Even if you just bought the fucking shit at Walmart, you fucking somehow violated something. That being said, it's a difference between that and working backwards on, I like this person so they just didn't do it, or it's okay when they rape people because I like them.
Correct.
That's a completely different, I don't even understand that mentality. Like, why people still live in that in 2018. Anyway, so he as the clip made his round, the podcast said, you know, his spokesman said that they were discussing rape culture, which was never a newer understanding at the time, not usually discussed openly, but the host also took to his podcast to clear his name and apologize for joking about the matter. Hey, he can always get out of jail free with that. Don't get a day shit. Like, as long as he can do that, he gonna be straight. I posted this today because I wanted to address some clips that have been floating around from the podcast as well as Vlad TV, where I failed to have a productive, mature conversation around issues that demand respect. He said, back in 2015, I attempted to have a dialogue about rape culture with an emphasis on the role men play. I can honestly say that I communicated that all wrong. I don't think that those kind of conversations should happen in this space, even though I've always been an open book and I strive to use my life as an example for others, but I didn't get it right with this one and I have to apologize for that. For the record, in 1997 I was having consensual sex with a young lady after we went to the sex store, keyword we, and got the Spanish fly, which is an aphrodisiac, not a drug. We were both aware we were gonna put this in a bottle of brandy, which is why we got the cola flavor, but I didn't explain the situation well at all back in 2015, he said. As he continued with an apology for an even older clip about hitting a girl when he was 16. So right there, you have him apologizing for the way he phrased the shit. You got people that wouldn't even admit it was phrased badly. Even he had to go back and be like, yeah, the way I was joking and laughing about this shit, leaving out certain details, was fucked up. Two, that's if you believe him. Now, a lot of people believe him because they listen to him every day, and I would assume over the years of listening to the dude, you develop an affinity for the person, and you probably on some level believe they tell the truth about everything. I would assume that happens with our show. I would assume that happens with everybody's show. If you listen to somebody on the daily, you probably not listen to somebody you feel like, this nigga's lying to me.
Correct.
So I don't have that affinity for him because I don't consume his products in that way, so it's easier for me to feel like I'm objective or whatever the fuck. I might not be objective comparatively, but it's easier for me to feel like, yeah, I just, his shit sounds fun, like it doesn't match up. I don't see why you need to tell a story 2 and 3 times. How you leave details as important as consent out of a story where you're going to be talking about rape. I don't know how that's possible, that you just leave out that we went to the store together, that you leave out that we've agreed to put this in the drink. Like, I don't know how that detail isn't relevant to retelling a story on a public space that's going to go out to thousands of people, if not more than that, because of his reach. It just seems sloppy, and it's really sloppy considering this motherfucker is a gatekeeper and a voice of the quote-unquote urban radio for a lot of people. It's like, how the fuck can you be this sloppy, dog? You know, I almost can't be surprised because the bar is so low for black people on certain shit, because white people really look at us as sub whatever white people do.
Yeah, and the bar is low for black men. Like,
yeah.
Like, that bar ain't the same for everybody.
You know what? You know what? We're going to do something else in a second. I'm going to say black people. I'm not even going to just say black men. Black people. They look at us as less than human, and they lower the bar for us all the fucking time. Like, Sherry Shepherd can say some wild shit that would get fucking Rosie O'Donnell fired. She can say that on her show. Like, hey, she's Sherry. She's black. We just don't understand that culture. Everybody that's black in the culture is like, no, baby, what you said is very fucked up.
Right.
Everybody outside that culture is like, I just don't know. Black people just, they say fucked up things. It's entertainment. You know, so I think that's what happens with him, Steve Harvey, a lot of these niggas. You know, Stephen A. Smith, hey, if he wants to go on national TV and advocate on all the situations in which men should be able to hit women, and no other motherfucker owns all the Sports Center shows, all the ESPN shows, all day long talking about Ray Rice, no one else was stupid enough to say that shit. The bar is just lower for us. Like, that, he didn't get fired. It was just like, okay, take a day off, Steve. Come on, buddy. Yeah. It got a little wild there. We'll still have your national syndicated radio show and all this shit. But, you know, calm down. Like, it is some weird, like, I don't even know how to feel about it, because it's a weird level of, like, you be happy that black people can make mistakes and continue to work. But I'm also disillusioned with the idea that I know the reason you're letting them make these specific type of mistakes is because you think of black people as not as relevant, important, or morally whatever the fuck is white people. That's what you're saying.
Not that I agree with.
Dr. Phil can't have a story about possibly being involved in three different sexual assault situations. He can't
be off the air.
He can't just come out and talk about that and be like, it's good because we're having this conversation. People will be like, what the fuck wrong with him? Get him off the air. We can't be okay with this. But it's like, if you relegate some shit to a black space, then it is seen as our culture.
Right. It's something that can be ignored.
It's seen as our culture. You know, the same way it's the same way that people look at rap music and be like, it's the only misogynistic music. It's not.
Mm-mm.
It's obviously not.
Mm-mm.
But we can blatantly come out and be like, bitches and hoes and da da da. And if someone challenges us on us, what do we say? You don't understand our culture. Stay out of our culture. You know? Yes, my music may sound homophobic and be very misogynistic or whatever, but it's not really that way. Unless you come from the hood, you can't understand. And we can hide behind that and continue to revel in that shit, even when to our detriment. You know, have a platform and then promote that shit and be like, if you challenge me, you're a racist. You know? But I'm not saying, like I said, it's complex, because I'm not even saying it's good or bad. I literally don't know how to feel about that shit, because I know it's not coming from a good place. It's not like they're going, well, these are these black people's artistic freedoms and journeys. They're going, well, it's nigger shit. Just let him say what he wants to say.
Now that I agree.
Anyway, despite his explanation, though, the host took to his place of work to clear his name once and for all in regards to his comments about his wife. In fact, he even called his wife to clear it up. What's she supposed to say at this point? Let me fuck up your check. Call me at work and I'll fuck up your check for you. Hey, baby, I'm at home, you know, taking care of the kid or whatever the fuck I do during the day while you do what you do. No, you definitely raped me. I mean, I'm not taking it back. So deal with it on the air. Bye. Love you. See you when you get home. The fuck is he supposed to say? That's not what happened. We both know what happened. I was not passed out. I was very coherent, like enough for me to lift up my hips so you could take my panties off, she said. So she's in that position. The woman who came forward and did the interview, was 15 years old and testified, but reported that he sexually assaulted her to the police. He came to the station and took some charges, but she said he did it. Another confusing coincidence. She has She sent a letter to John S. Nichols, a deputy for the Supreme Court Office of Disciplinary Counsel in South Carolina, trying to get them to look at the case again. But they've already said they're not planning on reopening the case from the police. But she's basically trying to say that she did not get a fair trial. She said the prosecution improperly handled the criminal case. She writes that she was uncooperative at the time of the investigation because of being traumatized, and claims it was the prosecutor's responsibility to defend her. Reed now wants to file an official claim against the prosecution for allowing Charlamagne to cut a plea deal and dismiss the charge of criminal sexual conduct with a minor. The 32-year-old woman says there was no investigation done to bring justice, and claims Charlamagne continues to violate me on the radio, in his book, and on social media. Yeah, that's the thing. When one person's been allowed to tell their side of the story forever, and the other person doesn't have a platform, this is also what happens. Like, at some point with the internet now, everybody gets a chance to tell their song.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It doesn't look like they're even thinking about opening this case again, so I don't think that's gonna happen.
Mm-mm.
Which I never thought would happen. Like I said, nobody gets canceled. I don't think he's gonna lose any opportunity. I don't even think that was even on the table.
Yep, nobody gets canceled, y'all.
Even the whole the clips people were playing, they're popular clips. He's been talking about this shit forever. Like, how you expect some new outrage and some shit that's old? Like, it's something that's old that he talked about, that, like, you're not gonna get it, you know? So, like, the vigorous defense of him was kind of unnecessary, because he's not going nowhere.
Nope.
You know? Court records posted online, finally somebody put this paperwork out, and I got to see it myself, but it shows that Charlamagne Tha God's DNA didn't match accuser's rape kit. What they won't tell you in this case is that no DNA was found on her, although the medical examiner did say that evidence of a sexual assault, like injuries from a sexual assault, were present, and so she was likely sexually assaulted according to the injuries she received. Yet at the same time, there was no DNA from anybody recovered on her. So the absence of DNA does not indicate there was no sexual assault.
Come on.
It also doesn't indicate that if you don't know who did it, it doesn't necessarily mean it didn't happen. And if you don't know who did it, it doesn't necessarily mean it couldn't have been him. That being said, you know, at least he was telling the truth about DNA having quote unquote cleared him in the way that most people understand it, via law and order and shit like that. They talked to expert DNA evidence who explained people expect DNA or scientific evidence in every case, and the reality is it doesn't exist in most cases. Sangamon County Assistant State's Attorney Cheryl Essenberg said in a report by the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault, "It's very much the exception." Villanova University law professor Michelle Anderson echoed Essenberg's argument. "That leap is a misunderstanding of what DNA can and can't prove. DNA can prove sex occurred. DNA can't prove that sex didn't occur." So yeah, there you go. I don't think anything was ever going to happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's rallied the troops on this joint, and he's gonna be good.
Oh yeah.
Even to the point of, you know, getting his wife on the phone, and it's so wild because all of these are basically self owned. Like, he did this to himself, and nobody can, like, people are gonna say he like got accused or targeted, but like, he legit told everybody this shit already. And then people go, "I can't believe y'all upset about this." No, I can't believe y'all listened to this shit 3 years ago and never crossed your mind that it was kind of fucked up. Last one, Chloe Dykstra says she chose not to participate in Chris Hardwick investigation. So Chris Hardwick, it has been reinstated as AMC's Talking Dead host, and I'm sure he'll be at the next San Diego Comic-Con and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The investigation apparently was handled by a firm that is, like, I don't know if they're owned by his wife's, like, family and shit. The Hearst are very, very rich. They own everything. So, you know, I don't know exactly how the investigation took place or any of the stuff, but part of the reason that I'm sure he was kind of cleared is because she did not want to participate, partially because she said she didn't want to talk to people who she felt like weren't going to believe her in the first place, and because she also said from the beginning, I think everybody skipped over in the essay, she was not out to ruin his career or like to injure him. She was out to tell her side of the story. And I think with a lot of social media and a lot of the whole outrage shit, people want a quote unquote justice. That's kind of like some, hey, this thing happened, let's go get this guy. And it's weird because in a space where we talk about what do survivors want, what does justice look like to the person who had to deal with it, not to all of us on the outside with the pitchforks, but what does it look like? Well, in her first initial post on Medium, she said she wasn't trying to hurt him in that kind of way. She needed him to recognize her truth, and that was it. And we went, nah, he need to lose his job, we need to make sure that he, you know, he doesn't work again, maybe he should go to jail. But it was really not about her, it was about everybody else, if we're being honest.
Agreed.
At any rate, she didn't participate with the investigation, which is a third party investigation conducted, you know, that by a firm AMC hired. And I still don't know what happens in these third party investigations.
Mm-mm.
Like, there's no transparency on this. So
you don't know what they do. You don't know their findings.
Yeah, even when they tell you they are suspending somebody, I never really know why they chose to do it or not do it unless they tell us. Like,
right,
there's cases where, like, you know, with Tavis Smiley, like they came out and said, well, this, he did this, this, and this. With but with certain people, it's just like, we investigated and he's back on the air, and you're like, well, what did you investigate, what did you find? And also, I mean, I understand it's delicate, because let's say you do not find enough evidence, or you don't find enough to fire this dude. And in all earnesty, you did your best and you couldn't find enough. And you did, like, nobody else came forward to say he abused them. You look at correspondence between the two of them, and it's not, you know, as one-sided as is presented, or, you know, these voicemails and stuff that she says she has, she won't let you listen to them. What do you do as an employer? Well, you're fired because you were accused, and that's really all we got. Well, now I'm gonna get sued and I'm probably gonna fucking lose, because they're gonna be like,
correct the company, Ryan.
Yeah, they're gonna be like, well, you never proved that he did any of this shit. The person that said he did it won't talk to you. Come up off that dough then. You know, it's a very gray area for some of this shit, and even in ways that people don't want it to be. Unfortunately, every case isn't gonna be, you know, law and order and shit.
Mm-hmm. Ain't like that.
Yeah, let me go to the next section real quick. So I mean, I could kind of understand the frustration of us on the outside being like, but I don't like this dude and I think he needs to go, and the shit she said about him was really damning, and I believe what she said. I don't think someone just makes some shit like that up.
Mm-mm.
Even with all that, we're not in a position of having to prove that shit in the way a company would be,
right?
Like AMC may be under more pressure to actually go out and prove what happened. I think you need to go to session 2.
Remember, still doing that?
Yes,
my bad.
All right, so yeah, I do wonder about that. If she feels like, I don't trust these people, but also if I do work with these people and they end up getting rid of dude, that's not what I wanted. So yeah, she said, I chose not to participate in the investigation against the person I spoke of. I do not believe in an eye for an eye, therefore I've only shared my evidence with those who I felt should see it. She wrote that she shared her story so that people who have suffered emotional abuse might not feel so alone. If that's all she wanted, I don't know what else to say. That's the thing she wanted, and I'm not 100% sure what AMC is even supposed to do with that. Now, she did say she tried to get closure from him directly by texting him, and she said those text messages were chopped up and sent to TMZ, and it ended up on a site that basically made her look in the worst light possible. Like, oh, she's just, you know, she's just out here, which totally fits into the emotional abuse narrative. But I'm also like, what do you do if you have an employee and a company and I'm like, I need to see your phone, I don't need to see your private text messages? Is there legal grounds where I can do that?
Right.
If, like, I don't
if
know.
It's not job related. What the fuck?
I like, these are questions that come up because I don't know the answer. Like, it's not
average
about
person gonna say, no, fuck you. No, I know you will not look through my personal shit. This is not your company owned shit that you monitor all the time.
Yeah, like, I don't think like, I know, like, I know that I never expected him to be quote unquote canceled anyway.
This,
what we covered now, 3 stories today, maybe 4, of people that, oh my god, they're gonna be canceled, and they still working, they absolutely fine, so everybody can calm the fuck down.
Nobody gets canceled, y'all. Nobody.
But I didn't expect them to be canceled or anything like that. I didn't expect them to really lose anything. I knew it would be very hard to prove, especially if they didn't have a paper trail of that blacklist shit, which is the most work-related thing they can probably prove.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know she didn't work with them at all, and I don't know what, like, people are dissing AMC, and I'm like, I'm not 100% sure how that, and maybe people understand what these third-party investigations look like, and I just don't know, but I don't know how you prove something as not a legal, like, you're not an investigative police force or something where you can compel people to be like, you must cooperate to the fullest extent. We want to see everything, your phones, we want to see your voicemails. Like, I don't know what you do when you're doing that. And then on the other side, the person who is a survivor of the shit is like, I'm not talking to y'all. So, but you said you have evidence that will show that he did blank, blank, and blank, and we want to, you know, get this dude out the pain if you're, you know, if he's gonna be out here doing this stuff. Yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not showing you shit. I don't know what you do. Like, it's just, it sounded very open and shut to a lot of people on social media, you know, especially if you already don't fuck
AMC
with the dude.
AMC is sticking with Chris Hardwick. Following an internal investigation into allegations of sexual assault and emotional abuse.
That is amazing. That just started playing. It was sitting there the whole time. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still believe what she said, so I just don't know what you do. I don't have the hang up of having to worry about what my company's legal recourse would be.
Right.
So it's easy for me to say, I believe her, just let the nigga go. I don't have to make that fucking decision or deal with that shit in courts or money or any of that shit. So from my understanding, the family he's married into has a shit ton of money and stuff too, so I could even see AMC being like, nope, not worth the hassle.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't prove it, we gonna have to let him stay.
Agreed.
In the meantime, Yvette Nicole Brown will now only be temporarily hosting one episode of Talking Dead, and then he's gonna be back for the main show.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I just keep thinking about all those people on Twitter and stuff harassing folks, jumping in their mentions to defend Chris Hardwick. He didn't lose shit.
Mm-mm.
What I just don't understand that side of things, you know? What are you harassing folks for? He don't need your help. He's good. He got fucking celebrities coming out saying sign a petition. He didn't do nothing. Are you sure that he needs your 5 tweets? You need to be harassing people that go, something's up with Chris Hardwick. That's what you gotta do. All these niggas end up just fine. All right, I did say I was gonna skip fucking with black people, but when you said that stuff about the black men having a low bar and being able to keep cooking but not black women,
mm-hmm.
It reminded me of this story. I'm not gonna play the music or anything, but this is the appeal of the Breakfast Club, and I've been thinking about this for a while now, and I figured it out probably last week. I finally could put the words to it. So Sherry Shepherd went on the Breakfast Club, and I'm not gonna play a clip or anything, but she said that her son doesn't like black girls because they're mean. Mm-hmm. Sherry Shepherd. Now, she's also like a flat earther. She's also said stuff publicly about not wanting to be involved with her son's life because she hated his father so much. Just shit that, like I said, the bar is low for certain niggas if they want it to be. Like we talk about black excellence a lot, and black excellence is beautiful and whatnot. there's some black like mediocrity shit making waves in the TV show market and whatnot in entertainment, because it's not threatening to black, to white people, when black people are clearly not doing, being that sharp. Like, you know, a Steve Harvey can be celebrated, Sherry Shepherd can be celebrated, Wendy Williams can be celebrated, in this kind of non-threatening, almost minstrelsy what fashion of like, yeah, they're not that smart, and they'll just say anything, and they're sassy, you know, and they just kind of like that vibe. Like, people will tune in and support them, you know, and it's kind of like, yeah, well, he might not be that smart, but I kind of like that he's not that smart. He doesn't make me feel stupid like when I see President Obama talking about something and I get irrationally angry and want to vote for a racist. Anyway, Sherry Shepherd visited the Breakfast Club and they talked about her discussion of her ex-husband and all of her shenanigans, her desire to get back into dating, blah, blah, blah. Damn, this really is like a press release. Who put this out? Madame Noir? All right. Anyway, it's like they took the synopsis and just copied in there. It even said we at some point. Man, listen. I wonder how much connect Charlamagne, the Breakfast Club, Revolt, and all that has with these black blogs and shit, because the way they covered all this shit was like white people just didn't care. Mm-hmm. But the way black people covered it, it was really like kind of how much influence do they have between this shit and that Nicki Minaj shit? It make you wonder like how much of this is just bullshit. Like, your opinion is already bought and paid for. You can't be out here talking independently or free, because somebody got to be bankrolling it.
Because you don't know who knows who has a relationship with who. You don't know who fucking who. You don't know.
Yeah, like, what interviews are you trying to get? Like, I don't know how it works, but I don't know. It scares me. Anyway, so she has a 13-year-old son, Jeffrey, who some people were bringing up that he's autistic. I'm not 100% sure how it relates to this specific story, but I'll go into the story. So a 13-year-old son, Jeffrey, goes to a predominantly white school. He told his mother that he doesn't like black girls because he thinks they're mean. He shared one incident where he was speaking to a black girl and she moved her neck. He liked these girls, and there's not that many little black girls at his school, and he came in and said, "Mommy, I like white girls because it's only a couple of black girls. I learned a lot about men from my son. The little black girls get mean with him. Sometimes they don't want to speak. Sometimes they act crazy." And he's like, "Why they act so crazy?" And I'm like, "I don't know." So I keep trying to tell the little girls to be nicer so he can come towards you.
Stop it right now! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous! Get out of here! We are adults, and this is ridiculous! Cut the crap!
Where? Like when you went, like, start, call, like, you got those.
My reaction is angry, sad, and disappointed.
Why? Why? How does that, what you get out of that? And I'll tell y'all, that's the black male privilege that we talk about. When people go, "Black men ain't got no privilege, the cops will kill us." Okay, but in our own culture, in our own race, there's male privilege that still exists. The idea that the problem is little black girls must be mean because they won't talk to her son, and she goes and talks to these other people's children and says, "Y'all not being nice enough to this black boy, and he gonna end up dating white girls, and it's your fault." That's crazy to me.
This is why I'm glad I got no kids, because you bring your ass over there talking to my daughter, me and you gonna have personal, it's gonna be 100% fucking personal.
We will fall the fuck out
right then and there.
I will put a nail in your motherfucking tire for talking to my kid like this.
Bitch, if you don't get the fuck out of my face, it could be your child.
Right. Don't even bring that bullshit. But yeah, she says sometimes they don't want to speak, sometimes they act crazy. And he's like, why they act so crazy? I'm like, I don't know. So I keep trying to tell the little girls to be nicer so he can come towards you, but the other girls see him and they go, hey Jeffrey, my other girl, she means white, and they want to feel his hair
like a fucking chia pet.
He said they're nicer, and Camille, she always moves with her neck. She said, don't talk to me today, Jeffrey. I don't want that flower. And I said, unfortunately, Jeffrey, that's going to last your whole life. That's just how we are. Our neck moves.
Yeah, and it sounds like she got some personal issues, too. This rolls deeper than that child.
One, the energy you get back from black women and anybody you pursue romantically is about the energy you put out, period. So if you talking about somebody being mean to you and it's a whole category of people, then you a whole category of bigot, because that's why the fuck they responded to you like that. That's simple. Black women don't like me. You might be approaching black women in an unlikable fucking manner, and guess what? Black people are human. They respond in kind. You talking about all the black girls don't like your ass? Come on, man. That's on you. At some point.
That's on you. That's on you. And it just really upsets me, because not to get off topic, this validates that funky ass, crusty ass, nerd ass dudes that be out here, just because you play fucking Nintendo and watch some goddamn Naruto, you extra special, special, special dude, and you a fucking ass to women, black women, and then you be like, well, black women just don't get me. Fuck you, nigga. Fuck you. The problem is you. The problem is not these women. The problem is you. You don't wash your ass. You're crusty. Don't nobody want you. You got a funky ass attitude and you don't know how to talk to women. But because I get an attitude, because I don't want you, I'm the problem. Fuck you.
And the thing is, what your response right now is a justifiably emotional, angry response, right? Motherfuckers will take that and be like, see, this is what I'm talking about. Black women mean. Like, that's the shit that's wild. Is motherfuckers will say insulting shit to black women and right. Be like, I can't believe she had the nerve to be insulted by me being insensitive, mean, vitriolic, misogynistic towards her. Wow, really? You gonna see, this is why I fuck with white girls. Oh, I can't believe that made you mad just now.
And the most insulting part of that is when you say that, it's insulting to white women too. Because guess what? White women, guess what they are? They're goddamn women too. They get attitudes just like we do. They don't take shit just like we do. We won't. You know, I don't know why people have this fucking myth when it comes to white women, that white women's pussy is just free and they just sucking all the dicks in the world. That's not true either. They're goddamn human beings.
I'll throw one more out there. These white women still dangerous as fuck. Like,
right.
You talk about black women being mean, white women call the police on us. We've been having a whole summer of just white women freestyling, calling the police on us for doing shit that was not illegal. We've been dealing with that shit all summer. It's a joke at this point. Oh, it's permit potty. Oh, it's pool permit Paula. Oh, it's so common that we now have names. But yet, somehow that doesn't count as mean. For 400 years, motherfuckers have partaken in the spoils of our oppression and our stolen labor and our bodies. And yet they're not mean. Meanwhile, the partners in that fucking struggle are mean. Well, maybe if we didn't covet white supremacy and patriarchy as black men, you wouldn't be looking at the partners in your struggle and going, you mean. Some motherfuckers just see that shit in your eyes, and that's why they come off mean, because it's like, dog, you're putting me down as you look at me. You're already looking at me as, you're looking at me with the same ideals is the people that look at me and go, you're subpar, you're not on my same level. And you would then uphold that same patriarchy and racism on me and be like, white girls would do this, white girls better, white, and then go, I don't know why these sisters be so mean. It's crazy. They expect subservience out of black women,
right,
rather than respecting them and then getting that respect back. And I'm talking about, when I'm saying love and whatever in pursuit, I'm not just talking about romantic or sexual or lust, because all that shit is fleeting and it's not necessarily the same as like genuinely seeing somebody as your sister, genuinely seeing somebody as a friend, genuinely seeing somebody as a full fleshed out human being who also happens to be a black woman or a black femme or black gay or black whatever the fuck, to be able to look at them and just be like, yeah, I respect you because we are human beings and we should respect each other, as opposed to, in this case, I'm just trying to romantically pursue these girls in my school and they're so mean to me, mom. You know, like, do you even see them as human beings? Because let's say that the black girls at his school are mean to him. Let's say that they, for some, let's just make up a scenario where they randomly don't fuck with this dude, right? And it's no fault of his own. Do you know them as friends? Do you talk to them as classmates? Do you talk to them not trying to give them a flower, but just, you know their name and they're cool? That's it? Does that ever cross people's mind? Because a lot of times we talk about these discussions only in, we frame it in romance. Oh, black men trying to need to pursue and partner and marry and this, that, and the other. I'm saying just as a fucking human being, there's a lot of people in interracial relationships that don't hate their brothers and sisters.
Right.
So it's possible. So my question then becomes, when it does turn out that motherfuckers are rejecting you specifically, and it's a group of people rejecting you, how come the fault never lies with the individual who is being rejected? Like, it never is on the black dude that goes, these black women mean to me. It's always on black women. Subsequently, I know it's hypocritical because when you flip it and there's a black woman saying black dudes don't like me, we always say it's her fault. Nobody ever goes, well, you know, black men are, you know, mean and they're thugs and they just want white women. They don't want your black ass. When we flip it that way, motherfuckers will be like, that's the most anti-black shit you've ever said in your life. Why would you say that about our men? Women will say it even, you know? So like, it's funny how it's always on the black girls to somehow accept whatever kind of nigga this is. Cause I don't know her son. But it's always on them to accept whatever kind, and not just accept, romantically accept. Like, not to just be friends with, not to just be, hey, you know what, I don't want to fuck Roderick, but I'll hang out with him on the bus. He's fun at parties. No. If you don't want to fuck me, you're mean. What the fuck does that mean?
Right, and the thing is, if you are an ain't shit nigga, you're going to be an ain't shit nigga to a sister, and you're going to be an ain't shit nigga to that white woman. You're just going to be ain't shit.
Yeah, but like I said, she'll go right back to her daytime talk show, the radio show. The bar for black people in a lot of people, because of racism in a sad way.
Because of racism. Because
it's not true equality where it's like, well, they're mediocre at their job, but so is every white person. And well, black person shouldn't lose their job for being mediocre. No, they always have to be mediocre in a particular way that appeases white supremacy. Always. You know, it's not you don't have these motherfuckers with platforms that are like some revolutionary black person, but they sometimes get their shit wrong. Like, it don't work that way. It only works for the motherfuckers that are like, nah, these white people are right. Black girls ain't shit. I'm like, oh, well, let's give her a raise. She's doing a good job.
Right.
Black women need to step their game up like Tommy Lauren. Oh, that dude needs an HBO show. That's the energy we need to bring out to a national stage. It's just wild. It's telling. But yeah, I couldn't believe when I read that, I was just like, this is the most self-hating ass shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. And then when her mentions or social media get blown up, she not gonna look at it like, you're the problem for saying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and instead of using that as a teachable moment for your child, because a lot of parents probably deal with that because of white supremacy. It was a beautiful teachable moment. Gabrielle Union did it and everybody act like she was fucking insane. And what was wrong with her for telling her sons that they are beautiful women of all colors? People hit her mentions up like she was wrong.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I don't know the details of that. I've seen people have issues with that. I haven't even looked into that one. I know some about colorism and saying that these girls are beautiful and stuff. And I saw people saying it wasn't enough and all that shit. So.
Well, you know, for some people, they perfect parents, you know, cause you let the internet tell it. Some parents never fuck up ever. They always say it's like a fucking Disney story in their household at all times. You let some parents tell it.
Yeah. Leonard Brothers asked, did not cover it on Balls Deep. Nah, we talked about that. We was rushing through stories near the end cause, I have a heart out at it too now, But we talked about it a little bit, but I didn't go into the retorts of it and some of the stuff where people were like, even though she's trying to help, this isn't very helpful and shit like that. So I didn't want to get into it because there's certain topics on the show, on Ballsy, all this shit, where them academics can have those discussions and fight about that shit, but I don't really believe in the merits of some of those discussions, or even the intentions of some, because sometimes niggas just need to have like a way to get their tweets off and get a lane that nobody else is talking about. So we can't just be like, oh, that's good that she's trying to do blank. We have to be like, not only is it not good enough, but this is why it's actually harmful. And I'm like, all right, well, it's whatever. I'm not even trying to argue with you. You got it. And other people than me will have that discussion with you, but not me. Anyway, that was not planned to do that fucking with black people, but 100.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. 100. And she said other problematic things on the show.
Said the earth
show.
Was flat. Like, right. She don't know.
Ain't she the one that went on the air about talking about hair and shit like that one time before? Yeah, she did. And end up having to come back and apologize. She has, like, internal problems that
right,
actually come out on the air.
You want to know what bothers me the most, Karen? I think I've just talking about this with you, I've kind of reached the point why I feel bothered by the second chances that these niggas specifically get. It's because the second chances always come at our expense.
Right!
Like, they never go on the air and slip up and say something fucked up about white people.
Because they lose their goddamn job.
It never happens. It always comes at the expense of some other black people. Whether it's other black women, whether it's black men, whether it's black culture. It's always like, whether it's black gay people, it's always somebody else. But they never would slip up and say some shit that would really cause ripples and waves amongst white folks. They just don't. And so they continue to win, but that these like, man, I gotta say, I fucked up last week and I just need to apologize. It's always our shit. Like, it's always like, yeah, I came out and said black women is mean and stupid. Well, hey, he apologized, and we got to move on, guys. All right, we need to stop holding grudges. People need to grow. We need to give them space.
Yeah, that's only if they want to acknowledge it, because they don't have to publicly acknowledge it. They can just let people get in their ass online and ignore it.
I'm talking about the ones where they publicly acknowledge it, apologize, and come back. It's always some shit for black folks.
Of course.
It's never some other. It's never the other way.
Mm-mm.
Like none of, they would never go on the air and slip up and say all Republicans are racist or something like that, and then have to come back and be like, well, look, I did not mean that all Republicans are racist, and I picked my words poorly, and I apologize to the people that was offended. They would never venture to go that far, because they can see the nuance in these white folks. But when it's us, they're quick to be like, look, black women just, they don't be working for themselves. That's why Tommy Lauren is out here hustling, and they just sitting at home hating. They don't want to be like her. Next week they on the show, I apologize. I said some things that are, and they get that second chance, and niggas still fuck with them and everything. Like, it's because we don't really feel like we have much choice. Or this is why I was getting to with the Breakfast Club thing. I'm glad I kept talking. The Breakfast Club allows people to be their worst selves. And that's why the fuck is still around, and that's why Charlamagne's gonna be untouchable, Angela Yee's untouchable, DJ Envy's untouchable. They allow people, it's the universal thing that they've reached that is beyond it's beyond everything else. You allow people to be the worst of themselves at all times, and if they wanna judge you, that's fine. But one day they will be with you, because everybody has a bottom. Everybody has a negative thing inside of them. Your guests go on there, and the negative is a spectacle.
Right.
So when your guests go on there, like these quotes that we're reading right now, they always come out of this place. Like, not every single interview, but like a lot of these, like, who said what? And you look at the article, it's like, so-and-so went on the Breakfast Club and said blank.
Yeah, you don't see him coming from other, you don't see, you know, it coming from white publications. Like, mm-mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's universal among that sector. Like, that, and that's why they appeal to so many people. I'm not even judging. I'm really mm-mm. not. I swear to God, I'm not judging. It may sound judgy. I'm not judging. It's one of the things that makes humans human. is we all have some negative shit, some vitriol in us, and we want to spit it out in the world, and it hurts people, and it's harmful, and it's mean, and we can be ignorant, and we want to be proud in our ignorance and parade it around like, I don't give a fuck about blank. And you're like, well, you just hurt a lot of people's feelings by not giving a fuck. I don't care about that shit. You know, like, we like that.
Yeah, we live in the dragging area. Somebody would say people love good quote-unquote dragging.
It don't, they don't even really drag people on that show.
Not on that show.
You see what I'm saying? It's not, it's actually the opposite. It's like, you can't get dragged really on that show. And people that are brilliant minds and scholars go on that show. And they will sit there and let them say the worst fucking things and the most ignorant, uninformed things under the guise of, this is what the common man is thinking. And more importantly, this is what they want to hear. You know what I mean? Like, they straight up will be like, hey, look, I just don't understand why these dudes gotta be kissing. Like, I don't need all that shit in my face. You can just say that on that show. And it's like, well, it's the one space where you can say that. And maybe somebody says something back to you, or maybe they don't. But it gets to get said. And that shit is intoxicating to people. It's, yeah, the opioid of the masses.
And there's a lot of people that believe it and stand by it.
People love that shit. It's a lot of people that claim not to love it that do love it.
Yes, they do. It's like, it's their private secrets and shit like that.
It's the only,
numbers don't lie.
Yeah, it's the only thing that makes sense is, there's a lot of people who say, I don't fuck with this unless they do an interview with so-and-so. I don't fuck with this, but I check it out, you know, in the background and every day or whatever. You know, I don't really listen to this shit, but I'll check out the YouTube when they put it up just occasionally. A lot of people lying.
Yes, they are.
You know, and so that's one of the reasons I don't feel so like I can't talk about them. Nigga, they talk about everybody. Get the fuck out of here. Dave, you fuck up. See, your business don't be on the streets. So, like, it is what it is when it comes to this shit. But it's just funny that that ignorance is more powerful, I think, than anything else. Because it's easier to sell and it's easier to get eyes on. And as long as you can make people feel like, here's a place where either, A, you can come judge us. You know, shout out to Sorry for Bothering You. It's Sorry to Bother You. It's what, 2-3 weeks out now? That TV show is Sorry to Bother You. That shit was deep. Where they just put people out there and they torture them and make like people tune in to watch these people be humiliated on the air.
Yes.
That's kind of what that show can be. Like, that's kind of what Breakfast Club can be. A lot of shit. Whitney Williams. A lot of this entertainment shit can be just that. Like, a lot of reality shows. And there's a human part of us that wants to see that spectacle. But once again, I reiterate, I am not even judging.
Because I get it.
This is just the way I see the human condition. I don't think there's nothing that can be done about it. From the time motherfuckers was watching Gladiators in pits, it's always been some, I want to see this other person suffer for my entertainment. And if that means feigning this, being outraged at Janet Mock going on there and being ridiculed, and then the next, like, being asked very invasive mean questions, and then the next day being ridiculed on the air after she's left, if that means you're gonna be entertained, you'll pretend to be shocked and flabbergasted and all this shit, knowing that that's their track record. You'll continue to watch. And that's the secret that he knows and everybody else knows. And it's why they can't be quote unquote canceled. You will continue to watch even though you say you don't. You'll continue to spread the word, man. Like I just don't know how, I don't know another way to put it. And I know people might disagree or think it's not kind. It's the fucking truth. A lot of people that claim they don't fuck with them for real. And it's evident in who goes on the show. It's evident on who live, like, talks about the show afterwards. And a lot of this, thankfully, a lot of this was illuminated to me via this latest controversy, because how many motherfuckers came out and was like, oh, he been talked about that. I'm like, wait, you been listening to this nigga for 10 years? You remember this shit? You weren't bothered by it? Interesting. Like, you have accepted it as normal so much, you're bothered by other people being bothered by it. Like, we all listen together. No. you're the one who listened to all that shit, and we were like, yo, this is, that's kind of like not a good thing to be saying and telling people and laughing about. And you're going, you fucking weirdos, I can't believe y'all making a big deal of this. I'm sorry it got by your senses and it wasn't a big deal, but it's a big deal to a lot of people that don't fuck with that dude or don't listen to that shit, you know. But I think there's enough people that support people like him, people like Chris Hardwick, who, by the way, of course, would never be stupid enough to say these things. Mm-mm. People like Sherry Shepherd. There's enough people that support them. They gonna get that. So yeah, I'm not surprised at all, man. All right, let's get into Sword Ratchetness because we need to wrap up. I know it's the middle of the day, but we've already gone over 2 hours, and you know, can't do this forever.
Black people, wah wah, Puerto Rico, wah wah. If you love hip hop, make noise. If you love hip hop, make noise.
Lunchtime break is over, y'all. Time to go back to work.
Portsmouth police had arrested knife-wielding man at gunpoint. Police had their hands full with an arrest at Crossing Court Home early Wednesday morning. About 1:40 a.m., they got called for a report of a fight at a home. They arrived and a man had a large hunting knife, aka a sword. Police said it appeared that he was intoxicated. His name was Richard J. Pinkham, 47 years old.
White man.
And he told the police, he held the knife in an aggressive manner. At that point, police officers at the scene drew their handguns and ordered him to drop the knife, which he did. When police said Pinkham exposed himself and ran towards a large sword he had embedded in the ground. Oh God, he dropped a knife and picked up a bigger sword? Jesus. Police said the officer tased him and subdued him. He was examined at the scene by emergency rescue crew. He did not require to be taken to the hospital. The original complaint that drew officers to the scene said they learned Pinkham allegedly grabbed the throat of a 48-year-old local woman during a fight. Police said she was able to break free and call police. Arnold said no other injuries were reported. Pinkham was taken into police custody on charges of domestic assault by strangulation and having a weapon other than a firearm in his possession. He was expected to appear later in Newport District Court. Mm-mm-mm. That is a lot. Mm-mm-mm. All right, guys, it's time for us to get out of here. We appreciate all y'all for listening.
We do.
We're happy to give you the remix of the show in the middle of
the day.
Okay, it was fun. Where is Brooklyn at, by the way? Is Brooklyn out in the chat room? Where Brooklyn at? Is East of Harlem or no? I don't know
where Brooklyn Queens is. At. I don't know.
We don't actually know where Brooklyn
is. I actually don't know what suburb. I don't know.
We've never
a borough. My bad. You know, I don't know nothing about that place.
We've never been to New York, so mm-mm. I don't actually know where it's at. Okay, guys.
I did, but I was a kid. I don't remember. Yes.
Yes. What? All right, guys. That's it. Until tomorrow. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.